This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, Mike.
Are we on the air already? Gee whiz.
Knock, knock. Yeah, we're here.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Anybody there? If you're listening, 673-4464. If you have a question about anything that has to do with landscaping, plants, shrubs, lawns, fertilizers, watering. You know, I wouldn't worry about watering right now, but you never know. You never know when you have a question. Well, we got a call already?
We got a call already.
Hey, that's good.
Hey, right out of the bat. You're on the air with Mike.
Oh, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. So I have a spider plant indoors, and I'm very mindful of my watering habits because I know you're a stickler on that. But the tips of my spider plant are starting to turn brown.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean I have too much water or too little water?
I would say, have you stuck your finger in the pot and felt?
It is dry.
It's dry. Well, then, if it's how far down do you feel the soil?
Maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches.
Okay. Do you have proper drainage in the pot?
It's got a little bag around the outside of the brown pot so that it retains that water.
It retains the water there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if it has water, visible water at the bottom, I would be real light.
How much water is too much water for a spider plant?
Well, once a week is going to be more than sufficient. Maybe once every 2 weeks. It's just how old is this plant?
I got it as a gift maybe 6 months ago.
Oh, 6 months ago, and
a year.
Okay, and this is the first sign of this. First sign of this little browning?
Yes, it is.
Is it an old leaf?
They're kind of older leaves.
Okay, well, it may be the natural dieback on old leaves. I mean, isn't there new growth? Have you had new growth?
Yeah, there's new growth, yes.
And it looks good?
It's a little brown on the very tippy top of it.
Okay, then cut back on the water for a while and just see, and you know, on sometimes, obviously it has good potting soil, so the water, drying grows through very quickly, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Correct, yes, it does.
All right. How about fertilization? What have you fertilized it with?
I use those Miracle-Gro spear things you put in there.
Okay, and you mix it with water and pour it in that way?
No, it's a little, like you just shove it into the...
Soil. I hate those things. I despise those things.
Okay.
Yeah, really, because they don't do the job that they're cracked up to do.
So do Miracle-Gro then instead?
Yeah, Miracle-Gro, where you can mix it in water and water the Miracle-Gro in. It goes down uniformly. And it drains through and it doesn't stick around. And those others,
okay.
I've never had good success with them. I've tried them, and some of my clients in landscaping jobs have asked me to put them in, and I have, but I'm not really impressed with what they do.
Okay. And my second quick, can I ask you a second question?
Of course. It's only $10.
Okay. Well, I'll pay you $20. So on your last episode, you talked about overwatering of trees that are in the lawn area.
Yeah.
So I planted a apple tree because my daughter loves apples.
Good.
But I put it in the far side of the lawn. How much water is too much water for an apple tree that's fairly new?
Uh-huh.
And how do I avoid overwatering the apple tree? Because obviously I want my grass to be green.
Sure. Is there a sprinkler system in?
I do not have a sprinkler system yet.
Good.
I probably won't put one in.
Okay, don't. Avoid the tree, around the tree. Give the tree a lot of room. You can water your lawn and everything, but stay a couple of feet, 3 feet away from the the base of the tree. And in your, and if it's in a lawn, you know, it may brown up or something like that, but that's okay. You could put mulch around it and disguise it or do something else there. But just avoid giving it. Has the tree's been in how long?
It's been in for a year. I bought it as a bare root at your guys' place.
Good, thank you.
And so I planted it there because she wanted an apple tree.
Sure.
And now I'm regretting it because I don't know if I did the right thing.
Well, I have clients that have very old apple trees in their lawn. And but they've been established a long time, and it looks like they're doing pretty well. But we maintain their place, so we also regulate how much water gets on the lawn and on the trees. So we keep it to a bare minimum to keep the lawn green and the trees alive. And these trees have been in there 20 years, 30, well, probably 20, 25 years. And they bear fruit really well. But there are indications sometimes of overwater, but the trees are so mature that they don't die. And they do bear a goodly amount of fruit.
So don't
do anything specifically.
Don't do anything, just let it, just run this course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
good.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, see how it's easily done?
Yeah.
Give us a call.
Yeah.
541-673-4464.
I'm surprised you remember that.
Oh,
yeah,
me too.
Because I'm the guy that always says it, you know. Well, here's, I don't know. I've got a little political stuff here.
Uh-oh.
Not much.
It's,
No. With all the political chaos going on right now in our country, I think it's a good time to think about a vegetable garden in your yard or in your neighborhood. And with COVID and the delays in deliveries and all the restrictions that are out there on farmers, ranchers, and just the whole ball of wax stinks as far as I'm concerned.
You can hardly do anything.
Yeah. And the thing is, there I've experienced in my own industry, I want to order, say, plants or wire for irrigation or something like that. Well, they don't have it in stock, and they can't get it for 2 weeks, and this happens, and that happens, and that happens. Well, if that begins to happen, and you've seen some food shelves in some grocery stores are bare minimum. They're almost out of product. Well, you know, you get into the growing season where the commercial farmers of America are actually feeding us, and if they have those kinds of delays in delivery or shortages of labor to get the material picked or dug and put into the marketplace, and you go to buy some tomatoes or whatever, and well, gosh, we don't have any tomatoes. We're out of tomatoes this week. That's why I say it's a good idea to think about a vegetable garden in your own yard. Or like I say, if you don't want to do it in your yard, maybe you got a group of neighbors that could do a community garden. They work. I've seen community gardens throughout our Roseburg area and Winston area, and they work. But you know, if we're going to, and we have, like I say, experienced shortages in numerous things, but if we have shortages in food, you know, that's that's not really good. So what I'm saying is think about feeding yourself. Don't depend on the supermarket. If it doesn't happen, you just got a surplus of food, okay, that you can give away or share with your neighbors who doesn't have any or something like that. But I think it's a good thing to grow some staples, okay? It's easy to do. If this present danger persists, a garden to grow your own food was a good idea. I mean, that's all there is to it. And you know, I find all of this incredibly bizarre. And, you know, vegetables, of course, are easy to grow. And you don't need an acre to do it right. You know, if you have a garden that's maybe 20 by 20, which is like 400 square feet or even... smaller than that, you can grow sufficient vegetables to feed your family for a year. I mean, that's how easy it is. A 10 by 10 garden will, if you do it correctly and plant things close, a 10 by 10 garden, which is 100 square feet, will grow about $700 worth of vegetables in a season.
So that's a lot of vegetables.
Yeah, it's a lot of vegetables. And I mean, they'd be close and all that, but they don't mind that. But like a 20 by 20, maybe you and your neighbor on either side could get together and say, hey, let's do this in your yard. You got the most sunlight, you got the best soil, that kind of thing, and get it started. And at least you know that you're going to eat, and then you learn how to can, and then you all those other things. Boy, that's I know. Canning is something else.
Something I never learned.
No, my mom did it, and there's a lot of work involved. Yep. But when you're done, you got a whole pantry full of stuff or cupboard full of stuff. So, but, a 20 by 20 garden is a big garden, and that would grow you a whole lot of vegetables. And you can also plant berry plants and fruit trees and that kind of thing, too. And the fruit trees are good. The gentleman that I just talked to, he planted a bare root tree last year. Probably this year he'll start to get some fruit. They don't just pop out with a bushel full the first couple of years, but in time.
They don't?
No, that's a safe way. but in time, within 3 to 4 years, you're getting sufficient amounts of fruit. Apples, Asian pears are great. Asian pears do a really good job here, and you get an abundance of Asian pears. The cherries are are somewhat more, they're harder to grow because the birds and if you live in the country, you got the old deer like to come down and munch on them.
Yeah, they like a little dessert.
Yeah, they like a little dessert. But, you can grow enough that your family can be fed, and you can probably have enough to share or trade with neighbors. You know, they hunt and they have, venison hanging in their locker or something. Well, you trade them some corn for some venison, that kind of thing. But berry plants, there's blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. They are prolific producers. In other words, when you put them in the first year, they're producing, and they're going to produce fruit even in that first year. Not a whole lot, but you'll know that they're ready to go. And of course, the fruit trees are slower, but they'll be productive if you start planting them now. They're like I say, they'll be productive within 2 or 3 years, and it's a good idea. It decorates your yard. you can have it, in a nice sunny place, so it does a good job. But start thinking about it now. Start planting those kinds of things now. And if you never planted a garden, get some advice. Get some help from someone who is experienced. Apartment dwellers can start a community garden. And churches are a great place for a large garden with lots of help. We did it at Redeemer's for quite a few years. We had about a half acre out there. And there was always 10 or 15 volunteers out there weeding and hoeing and doing that. And we gave or sold. Well, we didn't sell. We just gave away the produce to the people that came to church. Hey,
nice.
They just shop, and you get your cucumbers and lettuce. Well, not so much lettuce, but tomatoes and, the easier stuff it is to grow. And there are, what do we call them? Farmers markets
there
all
you go.
Around here.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of them anymore, and they're very unique and interesting. And when it's a farmer's market, but there might be vegetables, there might be art, there might be leather goods, there might be tools, there might be anything. So it's like a one-stop shop out here at one of the parking lots or something like that. And those people that grow stuff, ask them questions. How did you do that? How long did that take? What's your soil like? They love to share information. And the more information you're going to get, the better you're going to do.
Better off you're going to be.
That's right. And but think about this. You've got your basics down, and you'll get a lot of satisfaction from growing your own food. Even if there are no shortages, even if there is, good delivery and everything else. And you'll save money from growing your own food. There's going to be some labor involved initially. But once
my dad said, that's good for you.
Yeah, it's good for you. Eat that rutabaga.
Yeah.
Oh, rutabaga. But if you don't, like I say, have enough ground to grow a garden outside, you can plant vegetables in large pots on your deck, patio, back steps, whatever. And you can get a big, large pot. You can put three tomato plants in there, or three pepper plants in there, and you'll be amazed at how many tomatoes three tomato plants will produce.
Yeah.
And I picked up on something here the other day in the news.
You want to save that for?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Why would Bill Gates buy 1 million acres of farmland throughout the USA? Okay, we got to go to a break now.
Yeah, you want to stay tuned for the answer.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Phone number
673-4464.
All right.
For all your gardening questions.
Catch you on the other side.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, we are back. Now,
what?
We've been hanging onto the edge of our seats. Why?
Why?
Bill Gates.
Why would Bill Gates buy 1 million acres of farmland? He's a computer guy, right?
Yeah.
He's
for his computers?
Yeah, I don't know. but
don't know.
If one person or one company had 1 million acres of farmland, how would he control the vegetable growing on that farmland or the use of that farmland? He could do it as much as he want or as little as he want. Or, you know, if he didn't do any of it, then...
Yeah.
You know, it just seems strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got Mayor de Blasio up there in New York.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, farming is simple. All you do is put a seed in the ground and watch something grow.
Then you try it, bud.
Yeah, you try it. Never mind. You try it. Is that simple? Anybody can do that. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, America feeds the nation and feeds half the world from our farmers. Our farmers are so underrated by the government class, if you will. And, you know, the comments that... The governor of New York said, well, you just plant a seed and it'll grow. It's no big deal. Come on. He has no clue. He has no clue whatsoever. And those are the kind of people that are in control. and they make things happen or not happen.
Yep, they
so
make
that's
the
why I think everybody should have a garden in their backyard, their front yard, or whatever yard they have the most sun in. So,
you never know.
Yeah, just think about it. Just do some research. Get on your internet thingy and look around and see.
So we don't really know why he bought.
No, I don't. I'm sure it isn't to grow artichokes or something like that. You know? But so to keep your home garden clean and productive, less than maybe an hour per day is all that's needed. It's not a big deal. If you got an acre, yeah, you're going to have a lot more time invested. But your regular home garden, an hour per day, if that, if you do it correctly and start with a good clean soil mix, et cetera, and you make sure that you keep the weeds to a minimum, you're not going to have a whole bunch of labor involved. And like I say, it can be soothing. How's that? You can get out there. The plants don't talk back to you. They look good. You can see the growth, and you're going, wow, man, this is
therapeutic.
Good. Therapeutic is a good word, exactly. And, you know, and then you can plant some flowers in between the vegetables. And I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, about pollination of gardens and bees, et cetera. And if you plant flowers in between your plants, and not only does it give it a lot of color, it attracts bees. And you attract more bees, you get more pollination, you get more produce.
Mm-hmm.
It's real simple. You know, it's just
the old birds and the bees.
The birds and the bees, they do it for you. and
all we have to do is watch.
That's right. So the bees are attracted to the blooming flowers, and they're gonna do the job for you.
Yep.
Now, even if you have bad soil, you can still grow a great garden. Okay, you got nothing but rock and clay, and you go, how can I grow a garden in this mess? And blah 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 blah. Well, simply dig a larger hole in the bad soil and replace it with good potting soil or some kind of a loose mix. And if the hole is large enough, you can put three plants in each hole. And it's like if you had a pot, you can put at least three tomato plants or three pepper plants or a couple of cucumbers. Well, or how about zucchini squash? All you got to do is plant one zucchini. You got food
Bingo.
For a year.
Yeah.
It never stops. And you put two or three of them in, boy, you better watch out.
Yeah. Got enough to feed an army, so to speak.
I know. And I was looking at a gardening book here, a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about this kind of thing, growing your vegetables on your deck because you live in a townhouse or a condo or something like that. And one guy had three corn plants in a pot. Yeah, and they
inside
in a pot on a deck.
Oh, on the deck.
A large pot, but there was three corn plants, three corn stalks growing out of that one pot. And so he had corn growing on his deck. And so, you know, it's like I say, if you have bad soil or small yard, hey, bad soil, dig big holes. That way you've got good soil where the plants are going. If you don't, you got a pot or several pots on the deck or on the patio or at the front porch or the sidewalk or the driveway. Doesn't matter where you put it as long as it gets sun. And you can grow some vegetables. You can grow something to eat. Eat is good. I like eating.
Which I did not yet today.
Yeah, and, he's kind of weird on me here today.
Yeah, I am.
But and the only tools a determined gardener needs is a shovel, a rake, and a hoe. You don't need anything else like that. You don't have to spend $100.
Sounds like a country group.
Yeah, a shovel, rake, and a hoe. Yeah. I speak from experience because when I was 8 or 9 years old, that is how my family prepared the soil and grew our food on our ranch. And to add fun to the project, my main job was hauling water from the spring to water the garden. And the fun part was learning how to drive a 1956 Chevy pickup truck with a water tank that my dad installed in the bed. I'd drive it down to the spring, which was about 200 feet, maybe 300 feet away from the garden, filling up the tank from the spring, and then driving to 300 feet back to the garden to water the plants. I made as many trips as possible.
I'll bet.
And like I said, I was only 9, and it was a 3-speed on the column with a clutch. And I had a great time until I tried to turn around one day and I got stuck in a ditch and blew two tires out. Then I got restricted from my gardening privileges for a while. And my driving privileges as well.
Is that where your mom said she blew the tires up?
Or? Yeah, that's where my mom saved my life.
Yes.
she took the blame, and my dad didn't know for a while. But after a while, she confessed. I lied to you. I didn't blow out the tires. The kid did.
He did.
But the kid was 18 at that time.
Yeah,
so
it didn't.
Come on, Dad, take it.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, everybody has a favorite vegetable that they like. Mine is potatoes. I love potatoes. Mm. They're simple to grow, and they're a pleasure to eat. Think about this. French fries, mashed potatoes with gravy, baked potatoes, fried potatoes with onions and green peppers with bacon and eggs. Oh, boy. It's a very usable vegetable. Boiled potatoes, you boil them and then put some butter and some sour cream, salt and pepper on them, and you're eating good. You don't need much
more. The old ticker loves it.
Yeah, that's right. Ticker loves it. That's ticker thrive. And so when I was like 15 or 16, I planted a potato garden in sand, because our soil was real sandy.
Yeah.
So I didn't have anything else. So I just dug holes in the sand and I planted those potato eyes in there and, watered them a little bit because the sand drains very quickly. And I got a great crop. And there was plenty for my mom to cook up a batch of fries for me, and that's all I cared about. And nothing tastes better than a freshly dug potato cooking within 15 minutes after taking it out of the ground.
After harvesting.
It has not sat in Freddy's or Safeway for a week and a half, and you go in there and pick them out. I mean, you dig it up, you skin it, cut it, and throw it in the French fry pot.
Absolutely.
You can tell the difference. It's good stuff. And, I know you can't survive on French fries alone, so.
Want to bet? No.
But it's good to go. So, over the years, I've always had potatoes in my garden. And several years ago at the nursery, and I've told this story before, I planted a whole row of potatoes at my nursery. The row was probably 100, close to 100 feet long because it was next to my grapes. And I was a little bit of space, and I thought, what a perfect place to put some potatoes. And I planted some marigolds in between them so the old bees would come over and pollinate, and I'd have a lot of potatoes, right? Well, I got, I think, three or four different types of potato seed from the co-op, big bacon potatoes, the small ones and the in-between ones. And, they had all kinds of names. I can't remember all the names they had. They were potatoes to me.
Idaho.
Some were big, some were small. Some were brown, some were purple. I stuck them in there. And I have very rich topsoil in my field. I mean, things grow quite well. You can stick an old piece of wood in there and it'll grow roots on it. So, with those four different types of spuds that were planted, I had 30 hills of potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're pretty, five or six seed potatoes in
per
each hole.
Hill?
Yeah.
Wow.
You cut them up and you put the eyes
in
and all that. Well, my problem was they grew very, very well.
Oh.
I mean, they were gorgeous, and I was so proud of them and all that. So when harvest time came around, that's when the trouble began.
Huh.
I had about 300 pounds of potatoes.
Wow.
I didn't know what to do with them.
That's a lot of French fries.
That's way too many French fries, even for me. But, as our customers came in during the fall, would you like some potatoes? Some fresh-grown potatoes right here at the nursery? Oh, how much? No, they're free. You just give 5 pounds here, and some people only want a couple of pounds, and some people want 10 pounds. Well, some of those big potatoes, five potatoes are 10 pounds.
Yeah.
So that's how we got rid of them. Plus, we had, we must have had 100 pounds stored in our pantry too.
Oh, geez. You know,
did
you replant them?
No, I did not. I did not. I let some time go by.
There you go.
I had to go through withdrawal of potato fever. But they really were good, and they grew so well. And, it was like a 6-year supply, for crying out loud.
Man.
So, but we, like I say, we ate what we could and gave the rest away, and everybody was happy. Lesson learned, only plant what you can eat and give away. and make sure you've got people that will take it. I mean, not everybody wants a 100-pound sack of potatoes to take home.
Words to live by.
We will be back.
We certainly will.
I heard the music.
In a couple of minutes. Oh, your hearing aid's working today.
Yeah, I tuned them up before I came in.
More with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here in just a couple on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And good afternoon. We're back.
And if you have a question, it's 673-4464. And even though I'm talking about gardens today, you can talk about your fruit trees, your indoor plants, or your blueberries, or whatever you want to talk about, even the lawn. The lawn is kind of hibernating right now, as is a lot of things. But you never know. If you have a question, don't hesitate.
That's good oatmeal, isn't it?
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I have no clue.
Oh, that's right. Am I supposed to be eating in the studio?
That's right. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't break those rules. Even though I'm talking about potatoes and stuff,
that's
you know,
right.
made you hungry,
making me
didn't
hungry.
It? Yeah. Well, I like I said, I learned my lesson. This year I'm only going to plant five potato plants. That's it. And that ought to
should suffice.
Yeah, that'll probably only come out to about 50, 60 pounds.
Yeah. That's a lot of spaghetti sauce.
And that will be more than enough.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
But you don't have to plant potatoes in the ground.
Really?
No, you don't. You can plant them. I've planted them in a bale of straw. Some farmer said, you get a bale of straw and burrow some holes right in there and just stick the potato in there. And I did, and they grew.
I laugh, but I seen a...
Yeah.
Potato growing out of cow dung one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. You can throw them on the floor and they'll grow, for crying out loud. Well, if you cut a potato, the top of a potato and put it in a little dish of water, it'll grow. It just starts growing. I mean, at all.
And, I wonder what that potato tastes like.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have it. So. But you don't have to put them in the ground. There's other methods that you can use, like you can plant them in a box. You got a big wooden box, or you burlap bags. I saw a photo of some folks with their potato bags, and they were burlap sacks, like what you get, grain in or something like that.
Yeah.
And they put potting soil in there, threw a bunch of potatoes in there, threw potting soil over the top, and open, you know, make sure the top of the bag is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And bingo, in no time at all, they got the potato plants, and you don't have to dig anything when they're done. All you got to do is dump the bag out and collect your potatoes, wash them off,
and you're
good to go.
Yeah.
And if you put them in a box, you've got, say, real loose soil, it's easy to dig. They're not labor intensive, and they're good solid food.
That brings to mind.
Yes.
My brother and I, many moons ago, were cleaning the garage, and anyway, I was up on the ladder handing stuff from the loft or whatever it's called, and I came in this cardboard box, and I picked it up, and all of a sudden, all these white things popped out.
No.
The eyes of the potato.
Oh, really?
Scared the holy, you know what, out of me, and I threw the box at my brother, and it was all over.
Really?
Well, a little cardboard box up there. I guess somebody put it up
that's
there.
That's how tough they are. Yeah.
if
you can't grow a potato, you don't deserve to eat.
I mean, oh, that about gave me my first heart attack. Ugly-looking things, you know, if you're not expecting it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when this farmer told me, And he's a real farmer here in Douglas County. He's, just get a bale of straw and pop some holes, some holes in it and put the potato in there and throw a handful of soil on top of it. And the potatoes form inside the bale.
Sure.
And as long as you keep it watered, it's good drainage, and they just get enough to survive. Mm-hmm. And then when it's all said and done, you just break the bale apart, and there's your potatoes. No digging.
There must have been a leak in the garage because they didn't get any water.
Was it dark in there?
Yeah, it was dark.
Oh, they're amazingly tough plants, you know.
My brother didn't appreciate them either.
Probably not. No. If you don't want to dig a hole, you don't want to put them in a bag, or you don't want to put them in a box, just get the potato eyes and just put them on the ground. Just lay them flat on the ground and then cover them with potting soil. Say 6-8 inches of potting soil, maybe a foot of potting soil or loose soil, and they will grow from that, and the plants will come up, and then when you're all said and done, the soil is loose anyway. You just move the soil aside and pick up your potatoes. You're done. You know, try these things. I hope somebody out there listening say, I don't believe that. I'm going to try that. See if that.
I think I'll do that.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Potatoes in a cardboard box again and give them to me for his birthday.
There you go. Yeah, make sure it's old though.
Oh God. Gosh.
So, those are the no digging required methods of growing potatoes. Like I say, all you got to do is remove the compost or the straw, and there you go. You're good to go. And the burlap bags are a little bit more work to them. And then putting them in the ground, you're going to get your greatest harvest because they've got so much more room to root out and grow. But the other ways are simple. And like I say, you can put them on the front porch, and it'll do the same thing. And it's just like...
They're an amazing
plant.
They are.
Yeah, and if you got them in a box or on the ground, and as the plant grows, the more soil or compost that you add to the base of the plant, that's more potatoes can grow inside there. You know, and the more you build it up, the more potatoes are growing. Because they just root out from the stems and the stems of the plant. Doesn't hurt them a bit.
I wish I looked more into that box, but I didn't want anything to do with it. Scary looking thing.
But like I say, the best way I've found is the mounded soil, real soil, and because you're going to get bigger and more bigger potatoes and more potatoes per plant. Now, if you don't have the land to grow them, use the burlap bag method on the deck or the patio. You're good. It'll work. And most vegetables that we have here, that the majority of them, are easy to grow. But if you're a first-time farmer, there is a lot to learn. You'll make mistakes, but you'll learn from those mistakes. Like if you buy a bunch of seeds, you go to the nursery or whatever, and you buy, 6 bags of seeds of different kinds of things, and you've got your soil all ready to go. You've tilled it up or spaded it up, and it's nice and loose and ready to be planted in. What you need to do is make sure of the depth of the seed. You don't want to put it too deep, and you don't want to have it too shallow.
Or too many.
Or too seeds. Many, yeah, because one seed... Well, you could go 2 seeds, then you have depends on the type of plant it is, and you separate it by a couple of feet, and you put your next ones, and so on. Now, for squash or viney types, you want to have a 10 feet spacing, because that's I had a squash plant out there, and it was small, of course, when I put it in, and within 2.5 months, it was 10 feet across.
Wow.
And it had and it was a zucchini, and it had more stinking squash than you find at Safeway on this one plant, and you can't eat them all, and there's not that many ways to cook them to make them taste good. You know, so but there's one that I kind of ignored for a while because it was kind of farthest away. It grew I'd say it was at least 2 feet long and 8 inches in diameter. You could hardly lift it. It seemed like it weighed 20 pounds. And it was out there for the longest time, so I don't think it probably tasted good.
Too good, yeah.
But so I didn't. We didn't butcher it.
We just left it there.
let the birds have it. It's 10 feet. I mean, the vine, from a little tiny plant, and in no time at all, it's like 10 feet wide. And they have beautiful flowers, beautiful blossom, big yellow blossoms.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law used to make squash blossoms, and she would get her fresh squash blossoms and fill them with bacon and cream cheese and all kinds of stuff,
and then put them
in the oven and bake them. And they were the most delicious thing you ever had in your life.
Nice.
And, some Italian recipe from way back, you know. And
via China.
You know, I don't think Chinese do it, but the Italians do.
Yes.
And she was a great, great cook. She was the best cook in the whole world, I think, except for my mom.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, and they both heard that, so.
Well, it's probably a good time to take a break, huh?
Okay, we'll take a break. We've got more gardening stuff here.
All right. And this is our last break for the day, so it's smooth sailing to the top of the hour in a couple of minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And I'm back with more gardening tips. I don't know if you think they're tips or not, but they're stories at least.
At least they're true stories.
They are true stories. I am not a politician. Like I was starting to say in the last segment, a first-time farmer.
Yeah.
You know, if you've never done it before, there's going to be a lot to learn, and you got to pay attention to what you do.
Right.
And like I say, with seeds, the depth of planting is critical. Not too deep, not too shallow. Read the directions on the package and plant them accordingly. And then
the reason I say not too many is because
dad. Yeah, that's a waste of seed. One or two seeds per hole is good to go.
He never understood that philosophy.
Well, you know, that was the olden days, though.
Yes.
But, follow the planting directions on it, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
And when you water them, don't soak it again. Very damp is good enough. And test the soil moisture, at least every other day. And if it's dry, stick your finger in there and it's dry 2 inches down, give it some water. Again, don't put a sprinkler on there for 20 minutes or 30 minutes and walk away and say, oh, that's good enough. That, it might take you 2 minutes to water what you need to water, and that's sufficient water if you've prepared the soil, the water goes in, goes down into the root system, mm-hmm. and gets it going.
That should be good for the day?
Yeah. Okay. You know, the day or maybe 2 or 3 days, depending on the daytime temps. If the daytime temps are, you know, 75, 80 degrees, you're pretty much good to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we have a call?
We do have a call. Whoa, baby. There you go. You can turn your... There we go.
Sorry for the second call today.
Hi.
But, Mike, this is David again.
Yes.
And last year, you talked about there being some miniature vegetable plants that you could grow in containers. And you said there was a website or something that had them, but I didn't write it down. And this year I want to grow them, and I don't know where to get them at. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, but as far as getting on the internet or whatever and trying to find out, I don't have a clue on that, David. I'm sorry. But what
well, you said there was like some company that had like it was like Good Harvest or Good Mother or something that had these small miniature vegetable plants.
Huh. Well, gosh, that's a year ago, right?
That was a year ago you talked about it, and I said to myself, I'm going to write this down.
Oh, gosh.
I got back to my house and didn't write it down, and now I don't remember.
Well, all I can tell you, sir, if you got a computer, get on the computer or ask, what's that? Siri, ask Siri, where do I find miniature garden plants?
Or you can Google it, too.
Yeah, Google it.
I'll
try that.
Then.
And okay. Then when you find out, call me and let me know.
I will call you and let you know.
Okay, thanks David.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Sometimes I don't remember what I said a year ago.
I don't remember what I said yesterday.
Well, I can believe that. That's a joke. No. Oh, golly. I don't even know where I was. Oh, we were talking about watering. You know, and as the plant grows, as the, you know, whatever it is, tomato, potato, you know, anything like that, as that plant grows, it develops that root system, and you can give it a little bit more water as it gets older. But again, it's not an everyday occurrence. It's maybe a once-a-week occurrence, maybe twice a week, depending on the daytime temperatures. If the daytime temperatures get up into the 90s, water in the evening or early morning so that the plant can get that moisture and it's not evaporated into the atmosphere and only, you know, 50% of it gets down to where it'll do any good. And as you're out there daily looking at how your new garden is growing, mm-hmm. You'll begin to learn how, you know, what to look for. What, you know, you'll see bugs possibly and you wonder, what the heck do I do with that bug? Or how do I kill this? Or stay on top of the weeds, for instance. If the weeds will come, weeds always come.
Oh, absolutely.
And get on them right away because they're competition for what you're growing. Mm-hmm. We got a call?
Yeah, I think we can take this call real quick.
Okay. You're on.
Oh, okay. Miniature vegetables.
Yes.
Baker Creek Seeds has what's called a micro tom, and it's a very small cherry tomato plant, but uh-huh. It grows full-size cherry tomatoes. And then Seeds and Such has a cucumber that's called Patio Snacker, and the vines will not get longer than 5 feet, but it gives you full-size cucumbers.
Huh. Well, thank you.
All right.
I appreciate
okay.
that. Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
You
very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, maybe that'll help David out a little
bit. I hope David heard that.
Yeah.
Hope David's still listening. Oh, golly. So, anyway, and don't plant all the seeds at the same time. Plant them a week apart. Maybe you've got a 20-foot row. Plant 5 feet of it on Monday. And then the next week, plant the next 5 feet. And the next Monday, plant the next 5 feet. And so you'll have four individual plots in the same row. So when the vegetables get ripe, they're not ripe all at once.
Right.
There's a You eat the first five, and that's good. By that time, the second five is coming on, and then you go through those, the third five, et cetera.
And by then, you're sick of them.
By then, you're going, I don't want to eat another tomato as long as I live. No, space them out, and you'll have a whole summer long and even into the fall fresh vegetables. And because our falls here in Southern Oregon, they sometimes last till, you know, Halloween. You still have got we were eating tomatoes from our garden on Halloween last year. And
really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And and we started eating them in, I don't know, June, July, somewhere in there. No, so July, August, September, October. Almost November, and you know, we had fresh tomatoes all that time because we spaced out the planting times, and as we plant one, and maybe a week later we plant another plant, and then a week later or 2 weeks later, oh, there's some left over, because we don't throw anything away. When the retail customers quit coming in and buying the tomato plants and the young plants, mm-hmm. they're overgrown in their little tiny pots. Those are the kind that are misformed and looked malnourished. Those are the kind that we use, and you plant them, and within a week they look beautiful.
They're just as good as the other.
They're good, and they grow magnificently, and they produce a lot of good vegetables.
Yeah,
and like I say, spacing them out, you'll have fruit or vegetable for, you know,
many moons,
3 months, 4 months, even, yeah. and berries can be the same way. You can plant some strawberries early on and then wait maybe a month and plant another batch of strawberries. So they would come on and ripen in different time frames. And consequently, you're eating fresh strawberries for several months. Yeah, exactly.
And they're good for you.
Yeah. So how much time we got here, partner?
3 seconds.
3 seconds? Thank you for listening.
All right, we've got to wrap it up for today, but where are you located, Mike?
We're in Winston on Highway 99, south of Winston. We're the nursery with all the green roofs. We're at the corner of Highway 99 and Dillard Gardens Road. Can't miss us.
All right, good enough. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You betcha.